Welcome back, everybody, to another deep dive with us. And today we are traveling back in time to explore the life and philosophy of Mahatma Gandhi, a figure whose ideas like reverberated not just across India, but really around the globe.
Yeah, it's remarkable how his commitment to nonviolent resistance really became a blueprint for social and political change, you know, in the 20th century and beyond.
Right. And for this deep dive, we've got a really interesting mix of sources we'll be drawing from history books like A Concise History of Modern India, as well as transcripts from some of our previous episodes, including ones on the Battle of Plassey and intellectual debates in early India.
Yeah, those connections, I think, to the earlier episodes will help us understand the historical context in which Gandhi's movement kind of emerged and how his ideas both drew from and challenged existing traditions.
Exactly. And to start, I think it's crucial to grasp the complexities of British colonialism in India. Right? It wasn't simply a case of like one power imposing its will on another. It was a very dynamic process, right? Shaped by political ambitions, cultural misunderstandings, and economic forces.
Absolutely. And A Concise History of Modern India sheds light on this dynamic. You know, initially, the British, particularly the East India Company, they didn't have a deep understanding of India beyond its potential for trade.
So they entered India with a very specific agenda focused primarily on economic gains.
Yes. But as their influence grew, they faced the immense challenge of governing a vast and incredibly diverse population. And interestingly, you know, they even adopted certain Mughal practices, like acknowledging the Mughal emperors, Caesar and Tea, almost as a way of legitimizing their own rule.
That's really fascinating. It suggests that the British, even as they sought to impose their own systems, you know, recognized the need to adapt to existing power structures and cultural norms.
Precisely. And it's against this backdrop of a complex and evolving colonial system that Gandhi's movement for independence takes root.
Now, Gandhi is often hailed as the pioneer of nonviolent resistance. But, you know, our deep dive on the Battle of Plassey revealed that resistance to British rule had a long history in India, even before Gandhi. Right.
That's an important point. Gandhi's philosophy, known as Satyagraha, you know, it wasn't simply a novel tactic. It was rooted in ancient Indian philosophical traditions that emphasized truth, self-discipline, and moral force.
So it was a fusion of traditional values and innovative strategies.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on Satyagraha for us? What sets it apart from, say, passive resistance?
So Satyagraha is about actively resisting injustice through truth and a firm adherence to nonviolence. It's not about passively accepting oppression. You know, it's about confronting it head on with the power of moral conviction.
So it requires courage and conviction.
Yeah.
It's about making a conscious choice to resist injustice without resorting to violence.
Exactly. And this commitment to nonviolence is what makes Gandhi's approach so radical. You know, it challenged the traditional paradigm of power, which often equated strength with military might or aggression.
And Gandhi's Salt March is a powerful example of Satyagraha in action, right? Imagine the audacity of marching to the sea with thousands of followers to make salt directly challenging the British salt tax.
It was a symbolic act that captured global attention. It wasn't about the salt itself, but about exposing the injustice of a colonial system that denied Indians even the basic right to produce their own necessities.
And Gandhi had a knack for turning everyday acts into potent symbols of resistance.
And it wasn't just symbolic acts. He also employed a range of practical strategies, including boycott strikes and non-cooperation movements, all aimed at disrupting the smooth functioning of the British administration.
Like the Swadeshi movement, which encouraged Indians to boycott British goods and promote indigenous industries.
Yes, the Swadeshi movement, as highlighted in the transcripts from 138, the Battle of Plassey and the Rise of British Power, and 149, Technology, Infrastructure, and the Modernization Paradox, you know, had a significant impact on the British economy. It forced them to confront the economic consequences of their colonial policies.
So these seemingly passive strategies actually had a very real impact on the British. They challenged the colonial system at its core, both morally and economically.
Absolutely. And what's remarkable is that Gandhi managed to achieve this without resorting to violence.
And that brings us to another key aspect of Gandhi's legacy, his leadership qualities. In our episode on early philosophical shifts, we talked about Emperor Ashoka's conversion to Buddhism and his commitment to peace. Do you see any parallels between Ashoka and Gandhi?
There are definitely some interesting parallels. Both Ashoka and Gandhi were transformative figures who championed peace and inspired large-scale social and political change. But while Ashoka's conversion was a personal journey, Gandhi's commitment to nonviolence was deeply intertwined with his fight for India's independence.
And Gandhi's ability to connect with people from all walks of life was extraordinary.
Indeed, his charisma, his simple yet profound message, and his unwavering belief in his principles resonated with millions of Indians, regardless of their background or social status.
He truly became like the embodiment of the movement, not just a leader, but a symbol of hope and resistance.
And that symbolism extended beyond India's borders. Gandhi's message really had a global impact, inspiring similar movements for social justice and equality around the world.
Yeah, it's amazing how his ideas transcended, you know, cultural and geographical boundaries, striking a chord with people fighting against oppression in various forms.
His philosophy highlighted the inherent injustice of colonialism and oppression, you know, forcing the world to confront the moral consequences of these systems.
And speaking of historical parallels, our deep dive on the Vijayanagara Empire touched upon their resilience in the face of external threats. It seems like this spirit of resistance is a recurring theme in Indian history.
Absolutely. The Vijayanagara Empire, like Gandhi's movement, faced challenges from, you know, powerful forces, but ultimately demonstrated the strength and determination of a people fighting for their autonomy and cultural identity.
But even Gandhi faced opposition from within India. Right, groups like the Hindu Mahasabha advocated for a Hindu nation, which directly clashed with Gandhi's vision of a unified India.
That's right. The Hindu Mahasabha, along with other groups, presented a challenge to Gandhi's leadership. Their vision for India's future differed significantly from his creating internal tensions within the movement.
Right. It's a reminder that even within movements fighting for a common cause, there can be differing ideologies and approaches.
Gandhi's vision for a unified India was ultimately about inclusivity and bringing together people of diverse backgrounds under a shared identity.
It's interesting how this vision clashed with the economic realities of the time. An economic history of India talks about the fluctuations in agricultural prices and how things like import and export trends were affecting the Indian economy. Did Gandhi's movement address those economic concerns?
Gandhi recognized the economic inequalities created by British rule. He saw how colonial policies had disrupted traditional industries and created dependencies that left many Indians impoverished.
So how did he propose to tackle these issues?
Gandhi advocated for economic self-reliance and the revival of village industries. He believed that by producing their own goods and rejecting British imports, Indians could regain control of their economy and empower local communities.
It's fascinating how he took something as simple as a spinning wheel and turned it into a symbol of resistance and economic empowerment.
Exactly. The spinning wheel represented self-sufficiency, a rejection of the exploitative nature of colonial economic policies, and a return to traditional values.
Did this vision for a decentralized, village-centric economy resonate with people living in India's rapidly growing urban centers? Indian geography points out that cities like Mumbai, Kolkata, and Delhi were experiencing significant population growth during this period.
Gandhi primarily focused on rural India, where the majority of the population resided. However, he acknowledged the importance of cities and the need to address urban poverty and social inequalities.
So he understood that the fate of India was intertwined with the well-being of both its rural and urban populations.
His ideas about nonviolent resistance and social justice found fertile ground in urban areas, inspiring movements for workers' rights, sanitation improvements, and access to education.
But did Gandhi's vision for economic self-reliance translate into like tangible improvements in living conditions for the masses? Our source, A New Economic History of Colonial India, highlights the harsh economic realities faced by many Indians, especially those living in poverty.
That's a complex question. While Gandhi's movement sparked hope and a sense of agency, the economic transformation he envisioned was a long-term goal. The immediate impact on poverty levels might have been limited due to various factors, including the entrenched nature of colonial economic structures.
So while his movement planted the seeds for change, the full realization of his economic vision would take time and continued effort.
Gandhi's emphasis on village industries, rural development, and the dignity of labor laid the foundation for later efforts to address economic inequality and empower marginalized communities.
His legacy continues to shape India's economic and social landscape even today.
Absolutely. And his ideas about social justice and equality continue to inspire activists and reformers working to create a more equitable society.
It's incredible how the ripple effects of his life and work are still felt generations later.
Speaking of lasting impact, I'm curious about the challenges Gandhi faced from within his own movement. We mentioned the Hindu Mahasabha earlier, but From Plassey to Partition highlights the complexities of navigating differing perspectives within the Indian independence struggle.
It's fascinating how a movement as powerful as Gandhi's could also be so internally diverse and at times contentious. It wasn't a monolithic entity, but a collection of individuals and groups with varying aspirations for India's future.
Exactly. And Gandhi's genius lay in his ability to harness that diversity, to find common ground and channel those different perspectives towards a shared goal. But the existence of those different viewpoints also foreshadowed some of the challenges that independent India would face.
Like the partition of India and Pakistan, a tragic consequence of those deep-seated divisions as detailed in The Last Mughal. It's a reminder that achieving unity and reconciling ideological differences is an ongoing process.
Absolutely. And as we strive to build a more peaceful and just world, Gandhi's message of nonviolence, dialogue, and reconciliation offers a timeless guide.
I'm also struck by how Gandhi's legacy extends far beyond the political realm. His ideas about simplicity, self-sufficiency, and living in harmony with nature have resonated with people seeking alternative ways of life.
That's right. His emphasis on the interconnectedness of all beings and the importance of ethical living has influenced environmental movements, spiritual seekers, and those advocating for social change.
It's like his message has transcended the boundaries of time and place, finding relevance in a wide range of contemporary issues.
It's a testament to the enduring power of ideas that speak to fundamental human values and aspirations.
Yeah, it really makes you realize how history is like a living, breathing thing, right? We're not just passive observers. We're all shaping it in our own ways, just as Gandhi did.
And his life is a powerful reminder that individuals can spark monumental change even in the face of seemingly insurmountable obstacles. Courage and conviction can move mountains.
Speaking of those obstacles, we've talked about the external challenges Gandhi faced from the British, but it's also important to acknowledge, like, the internal conflicts within his own movement.
Right. We've already touched upon the Hindu Mahasabha and their vision for a Hindu nation, but there were other factions as well, each with their own interpretation of what a free India should look like.
It's almost like a microcosm of India's diversity itself, with all its complexities and sometimes like competing interests.
Precisely. And as From Plassey to Partition illustrates, navigating those differing perspectives was no easy feat. It required tremendous skill and diplomacy to maintain a sense of unity within the movement.
Did those internal divisions have a lasting impact on India after independence?
It's a question historians continue to debate. Certainly the partition of India and Pakistan, as detailed in The Last Mughal, stands as a stark reminder of the tragic consequences that can arise when internal divisions escalate.
It's a sobering thought, but it also underscores the importance of understanding these historical complexities, right? Mm. We can't shy away from the difficult parts of the past. We need to learn from them.
Absolutely. And as we strive to build a more peaceful and just world, Gandhi's message of nonviolence, dialogue, and reconciliation offers a timeless guide. His legacy isn't just about India's independence. It's about the ongoing pursuit of a more just and equitable society for all.
I'm also struck by how Gandhi's legacy extends far beyond the political realm. His ideas about simple living, self-sufficiency, and harmony with nature resonate deeply with contemporary movements concerned with sustainability and ethical living.
That's right. His emphasis on the interconnectedness of all beings and the importance of living in alignment with one's values has inspired environmental activists, spiritual seekers, and social reformers alike.
It's as if his message has transcended time and space, offering guidance and inspiration across a spectrum of modern-day issues.
It speaks to the enduring power of ideas that resonate with fundamental human values and aspirations.
It's been an incredible journey exploring the life and legacy of Mahatma Gandhi. We've covered a lot of ground, from the historical context of British colonialism to his philosophy of nonviolence, his strategies of civil disobedience, and the moral force he unleashed.
And yet, this is just the tip of the iceberg. Gandhi's impact on India and the world is so profound and multifaceted that it could be studied for a lifetime.
And that's the beauty of it. There's always more to learn, more connections to make, and more insights to gain from this remarkable figure.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, we invite you, the listener, to reflect on what you've learned. How do Gandhi's ideas resonate with your own experiences? How might his principles of nonviolence, truth, and compassion guide you in navigating the complexities of today's world?
It's a question worth pondering, perhaps. Mm. By embracing Gandhi's spirit of courage and conviction, we can all contribute to creating a more just and compassionate world.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.
This has been The Deep Dive.